At the beginning of the 11th century, a new power emerged in the center of Europe. A people who had roamed the endless steppes managed to build a strong kingdom. They abandoned pagan customs, accepted Christianity, built castles and temples, and challenged powerful neighbors. How did this young state, born on the ruins of old traditions, become the shield of Europe? The history of the Hungarian kingdom is not only about victories. It is the story of a people who, having endured tragedies and triumphs, each time grew stronger. After the death of Prince Géza, a pressing question arose in front of the Hungarian nobility. Who would inherit power? According to ancient custom, it was to pass to the eldest member of the clan, the warlord Koppány, a supporter of pagan traditions. But Géza's son Stefan opposed this. He was the first true Christian in the Árpád dynasty. For some, Stefan embodied a new path of bringing Hungary closer to Christian Europe. For others, he became alien, a threat to the established order. The struggle between Stefan and Koppány turned into a clash of two worlds, the old pagan and the new Christian. In the battle near Veszprém, Stefan, having secured the support of German knights, won a decisive victory. Koppány was killed, and his body was quartered and displayed in different towns, a cruel but clear warning that the era of paganism had ended. The victory over Koppány opened Stefan's path to uniting the country under one crown. Yet this battle was only the first step. Stefan still had to subdue other influential leaders of the Hungarian tribes, in particular his uncle, Gyula the Younger. He ruled Transylvania and stubbornly refused to recognize the new authority. In 1003, Stefan led his army eastward, captured Gyula, and annexed his lands to the kingdom. This campaign finally broke pagan resistance and ultimately united Hungary. Shortly before all his triumphs, Stefan won his greatest victory, the right to be called king. On December 25th, 1000, or at the beginning of 1001, he was solemnly crowned. According to tradition, the crown was sent by Pope Sylvester II himself. This had enormous significance. The world acknowledged a new Christian state had appeared on the map. Stefan was also supported by the Holy Roman Emperor Otto III, who saw him as an ally. This coronation became a turning point, the beginning of Hungary's path as a full-fledged part of Christian Europe. Stefan understood that the new faith needed strong foundations. He established bishoprics, built churches and monasteries, and invited missionaries. At the same time, he laid the groundwork for a state administration to govern the country. Stefan created a system of ispánats, districts ruled by governors, the ispáns. Another important tool Stefan used to strengthen the state were his laws. They were strict, aimed at bringing order and establishing justice. According to the laws of King Stefan, every village had to build a church and support a priest, and all inhabitants were obliged to attend Sunday service. Pagan rites and violations of church holidays were severely punished. At the same time, the laws protected the weak, widows, orphans, travelers. This was a step toward a society where not only strength, but also law played an important role, and everyone had the right to protection. Stefan also clearly understood that his kingdom could not exist in isolation from the rest of Europe. Therefore, he actively developed foreign relations, which secured Hungary a place among the leading European states of the time. His marriage to Gisela of Bavaria tied Stefan to the powerful Ottonian dynasty. Other alliances of the Árpáds with the ruling houses of Poland, Bohemia, and Venice strengthened the country's political ties. Step by step, Hungary became part of the political system of Western Europe. For his neighbors, Stefan was not only an ally, but also a guarantor of stability. He maintained contacts with the Holy Roman Emperor Otto III and Henry II. acted as a mediator in conflicts and thus made Hungary an inseparable part of the Christian world. Despite the support of the empire, Stefan did not become its vassal. He skillfully balanced between the interests of the Pope and the Emperor. Hungary took part in several military campaigns in support of its allies, in particular against Poland and Bulgaria. This allowed Stefan to preserve the kingdom's full independence. Still, Hungary's stability was shaken after the death of Emperor Henry II. In 1024, the era of allied relations between the states came to an end. Unlike his predecessor, Emperor Conrad II had no family ties with the Hungarian court. The relations that, under Henry II, had been built on alliance and mutual support gradually turned into rivalry. The greatest escalation occurred in 1030. Conrad II launched a campaign against Hungary, seeking to strengthen the empire's control over the borderlands. Stefan I employed a defensive strategy. The Hungarians retreated deeper into the country, ravaged the land, destroyed supplies, and left the enemy army without food. Conrad's army quickly lost its combat capability and was forced to retreat. The emperor's defeat showed that the Hungarian kingdom was able to defend its borders even in confrontation with the most powerful state of Central Europe. After the conflict, the parties concluded a peace treaty that fixed the Hungarian-German border and confirmed Hungary's independent status. At the end of his life, despite all his achievements, Stefan faced the most important problem, the question of succession. His son Emmerich, raised in the Christian spirit, was to become the next Hungarian king. Nonetheless, in 1031, he tragically died during a hunting accident. The heir's death destroyed Stefan's plans to peacefully transfer power dynastically. The king tried to designate a successor among other relatives, but this provoked conflict between different branches of the Arpad dynasty. Part of the nobility supported a relative on his uncle's line, Vazul. Even so, Stefan rejected his candidacy because of Vazul's attachment to paganism. Instead, he saw as his successor the son of his sister and the Doge of Venice, Peter Orseolo, who was a Christian. When Stefan I died in 1038, the country was left without a clearly defined heir. A period of political instability and struggle for the Hungarian throne lasted for almost two decades. Stefan I entered history as the first king and founder of the Hungarian kingdom. Later, as a saint canonized by the Catholic Church, his legacy secured the Hungarians a place among the Christian peoples of Europe. Stefan became an example of a wise leader who united the country, integrated it into the European context, and laid the foundations for Hungary's future development. Stefan's first successor was indeed Peter Orseolo. He pursued an active foreign policy. Hungarian troops plundered Bavaria and fought against Bohemia. Peter's power, from the very beginning, relied on the support of foreigners, Italians and Germans. This caused resistance from the local nobility. Tensions grew, and in 1041, the magnates expelled Peter from the country. The crown went to Samuel Abba, related by blood to Stefan. He strove for independent policies and relied on the support of Hungarian warriors. Yet, this caused discontent among the Hungarian nobles. In 1044, Emperor Henry III once again took the field against him. The decisive clash took place near Mainfa, not far from Dürr. Samuel Abba's Hungarian army, mainly cavalry, was inferior in discipline to the combined forces of Peter Orseolo and the Emperor, which included heavy cavalry and infantry. During the battle, part of the Hungarian magnates defected to the Emperor's side. It is no surprise that Samuel suffered a complete defeat. He was captured and executed. Peter Orseolo again became king, but in fact had already turned into a vassal of the Holy Roman Empire. The second reign of Peter lasted only thanks to the support of the empire. Inside the country, discontent with foreign influence and dependence on Germany grew. This led to a new outburst. In 1046, a pagan uprising broke out, known as Vata's Uprising. It was directed against foreign priests and the king. At this time, Andrew and his brother Levanta returned to Hungary from Kiev. The rebels supported Andrew, although he was a Christian. Peter tried to hide in Székesfehérvár. Still, the rebellious townspeople killed him. Most of the magnates sided with Andrew. Thanks to this, he managed to obtain the crown. Vata's rebellion became the last major attempt to stop Christian rule in Hungary. Once in power, Andrew distanced himself from Vata and the pagans. Yet an interesting fact remains that they were never punished for their participation in the uprising. During his reign, Andrew I strengthened Christianity and defended Hungary's independence from the Holy Roman Empire. This led to a new conflict with Henry III. To strengthen his position, Andrew persuaded his brother Béla to return to the homeland and granted him large estates. In 1051, Andrew and Béla successfully applied scorched earth tactics against the imperial forces. The Hungarians retreated, destroying supplies and leaving the enemy army without food. The lack of provisions forced the emperor to retreat. The next year, Henry III tried to advance along the Danube using a fleet, but the Hungarians engaged in a ruse. They set rafts on fire and, with their help, destroyed the German ships. The campaign failed. The defeats of 1051 to 1052 proved decisive. The empire abandoned attempts to subjugate Hungary, and Andrew I finally secured the state's sovereignty. After Andrew I's successful reign, the issue of succession once again became the cause of conflict. Andrew sought to transfer power to his son Solomon, whom he had betrothed as a child to the daughter of Emperor Henry III, Judith. But this contradicted the traditional right of seniority, according to which Andrew's brother Béla was the closest claimant to the crown. Béla rejected Andrew's decision. He fled to Poland, where he secured the support of Duke Boleslaus II. With his help, Béla returned to Hungary at the head of Polish troops. Meanwhile, Empress Dowager Agnes, who ruled the Holy Roman Empire on behalf of her underage son Henry IV, sent Bavarian, Bohemian, and Saxon troops to support Andrew. In 1060, a decisive battle between Andrew I and Béla I took place at the Battle of the Theban Pass. Andrew suffered defeat and soon died from his wounds. Solomon, together with his mother Anastasia, daughter of the Kievan prince Yaroslav the Wise, fled to the Holy Roman Empire. Béla I obtained the crown and sought to restore stability in the state. Nevertheless, his reign did not last long. In 1063, Béla died in an accident. And once again, Solomon became a candidate for the throne, supported by the German Emperor Henry IV. A new dynastic struggle began, in which the internal rivalries of the Arpads were once again intertwined with the external pressure of the Holy Roman Empire. After the death of Béla I, Emperor Henry IV intervened in Hungarian affairs and made Solomon king. He had the support of the empire thanks to his marriage to the emperor's sister. Despite this, Solomon's power was unstable. Against him stood the sons of Béla I, Géza, Ladislaus, and Lambert. At first, the brothers were forced to seek refuge in Poland, but already in 1064 in the city of Pécs, Solomon and Géza concluded an agreement. It was a reconciliation. The king recognized the rights of his cousins to their domains, and they swore allegiance to him. During this period, the Hungarians were forced to unite in the face of external threats. In the 1060s, they jointly opposed the Bohemian armies, which sought to expand their influence in the borderlands. Successful campaigns against Bohemia strengthened the defense of Hungary's western borders. Equally important were the campaigns against the Pechenegs. Their devastating raids from the southeast kept the borderlands under constant tension. The culmination of the confrontation was the Battle of Kerlés. The Pechenegs launched a massive attack, but the Hungarian army, led by Solomon, Géza, and Ladislaus, crushed them in open battle. The victory at Kerles especially glorified Ladislaus. He led the charge and gained fame as an invincible warrior. From then on, in popular memory, the image of Ladislaus began to form as the ideal knight and defender of the Christian kingdom. All the same, internal disputes flared up once again. Solomon sought to rule alone, while Geza and Ladislaus had significant support from the nobility. The decisive battle took place at Mogyorod in 1074. Despite the support of German troops, Solomon was defeated by the combined forces of Geza, Ladislaus, and Otto I the Fair, Duke of Moravia. Solomon fled, losing his power. His mother and wife, who blamed him for the defeat, left Hungary and went to Germany to Emperor Henry IV. Geza I became the King of Hungary and reigned until 1077. After his death, power passed to his brother Ladislaus I, later known as Saint Ladislaus. Ladislaus I gained fame as a wise ruler and an invincible warrior. He continued the active struggle against the Pechenegs and Cumans, who threatened the Christian kingdom. Hungarian chroniclers praise his personal bravery. During battles, he was always in the front ranks, inspiring the warriors to heroic deeds. Ladislaus I strengthened order in the kingdom and promoted Christian values. One of his main achievements was new legislation. He issued a number of laws that strictly punished robbery, theft, and violations of public order. Special attention was paid to the protection of private property. Even minor thefts carried severe punishments. Thanks to his determination and strictness, he gained authority as a guarantor of justice. The relations of Ladislaus I with neighboring states also played a great role. He actively intervened in Croatian affairs, defending his own interests there. After the death of King Demetrius Zvonimir in 1089, part of the Croatian nobility, led by the king's widow Helen, recognized Ladislaus as an ally and protector. Besides, he was Helen's own brother. In 1091, Ladislaus led a campaign and quickly captured a significant part of Croatia. To consolidate his power, he appointed his nephew Almush as governor. This step was the first major one on the path to a lasting Hungarian-Croatian union, which was later officially established. Because of events in Croatia, the Hungarians found themselves under pressure from the Byzantine Empire, which sought to restore its influence in the region. Hungarian and Byzantine troops repeatedly clashed along the Danube, but a serious conflict was avoided thanks to agreements and truces. The foreign policy of Ladislaus I combined military force and diplomacy. He not only expanded Hungary's territory, but also secured its role among the leading states of Central and Southeastern Europe. After the death of Ladislaus I in 1095, the throne passed to his nephew, Koloman, known as the Book Lover. He continued to strengthen royal authority. The first years of his reign were difficult. The armies of the First Crusade passed through Hungary. The king skillfully managed the situation, allowing the crusaders to pass through Hungarian lands without hindrance. Thanks to this diplomatic mastery, he not only avoided conflicts, but also greatly increased Hungary's authority in Europe. At the same time, Koloman consolidated Hungarian power in Croatia. After a successful military campaign in 1102, he became king of that country. He was solemnly crowned in the city of Biograd. This confirmed the Hungarian-Croatian Union, which lasted for several centuries. His laws strictly fought against paganism and heresy. It was under Koloman's rule that pagan rituals were finally banned. At the same time, he showed humanity. For example, he abolished trials of witches, declaring that witches do not exist. In the 12th century, Hungary constantly maneuvered between its neighbors: Byzantium, the Holy Roman Empire, Poland, and Rus. Several times it intervened in the struggle for Galicia, fought wars with Bohemia, and defended its southern borders from the Serbs and Bosnians. At the same time, fierce conflicts raged within the Arpad dynasty itself. Claimants to the throne often sought support outside the country, which made Hungary vulnerable to external influence. The state flourished significantly under the reign of Béla III at the end of the 12th century. It was then that the royal administration was strengthened, and Hungary became one of the wealthiest states in Central Europe. Even so, at the beginning of the 13th century, the balance of power began to change. The rise of the magnates, the adoption of the Golden Bull of 1222, and the expansion of their privileges weakened royal authority. At the beginning of his reign, King Béla IV sought to restore the authority of the monarch, weakened by the Golden Bull and the arbitrariness of the magnates. He consistently limited the privileges of the nobility and strengthened the country's defenses. Béla was aware of the threat from the east. At the turn of the 1230s to 1240s, rumors spread across Europe about the devastating campaigns of the Mongols. Therefore, in 1239, when the Cumann Khan Curtin fled to Hungary along with tens of thousands of Cumans, Béla took them under his protection. He allowed them to settle within the kingdom, hoping to use them later as warriors against external threats. Though this decision caused dissatisfaction among the Hungarian nobility, the Cumans were suspected of looting, and their arrival further exacerbated internal conflicts. In 1241, Batu Khan's Mongol hordes moved westward, first to Poland and later reaching Hungary. Béla's previous attempts to mobilize the feudal lords and strengthen defenses had failed. The magnates were unwilling to give up their privileges and considered the king's warnings exaggerated. The key confrontation occurred on April 11th, 1241, on the Shayo River near the village of Mohi. King Béla IV assembled all available forces. In terms of numbers, the Hungarians had the advantage, but their camp was poorly organized. The army was arranged in a large wagon circle, forming an improvised fortress, yet this only restricted movement and hindered maneuvers. The Mongols, under the command of Batu and Subutai, acted according to their favorite and familiar tactics: feigned retreat, encirclement, and devastating cavalry strikes. First, they seized the river crossings on the Shayo and feigned weakness to lure the Hungarians into a trap. Hungarian knights attempted to cross the river, but encountered Subutai's ambushes. Meanwhile, another part of the Mongol army bypassed the camp and began shooting arrows at it. At night, the Mongols built a pontoon bridge across the river and attacked from several directions simultaneously at dawn. The Hungarian camp was surrounded. Chaos intensified, as most of the Cumans had already left the country earlier after the murder of their Khan. The king tried to organize a breakout, but the army collapsed. Some knights attempted to flee, while the rest fell under a hail of arrows. The Mongols methodically destroyed the Hungarian army. The heavy cavalry could not maneuver within the confined space of the wagon circle, while Mongol horsemen continuously showered them with arrows. Thousands of Hungarian warriors perished, including magnates and bishops. Only a small portion of the army, along with Béla IV, broke out of the encirclement. The Battle of Mohi became one of the greatest defeats in medieval Europe. It demonstrated the advantage of the mobility and discipline of the Mongol forces over heavily armed but disorganized European knights. After the battle, the path into the heart of Hungary was open, and the country was virtually defenseless. This catastrophe became a turning point in the history of the Kingdom of Hungary. The Mongol invasion exposed the weaknesses of feudal fragmentation and the lack of fortified towns. It was precisely after this that Béla IV initiated large-scale reforms: the construction of stone castles, settlement of depopulated lands with colonists, and restoration of royal authority. For these achievements, the Hungarians called him the second founder of the state. After the death of Béla IV, the Kingdom of Hungary gradually lost internal unity. his successors no longer had sufficient power to restrain the ambitions of the magnates. Large landowners turned their holdings into almost independent principalities, built their own castles, maintained armies, and often acted contrary to the king. The last Arpad, Andrew III, tried to hold the kingdom together through dynastic alliances and compromises. All the same, he lacked the resources and broad support to succeed. After his death, the direct dynastic line ended. The decline of the Arpad dynasty forced Hungary to undergo a difficult period of succession struggles until the Angevin dynasty eventually came to the throne. Nevertheless, the Arpad legacy remained a strong foundation for the future development of the state. The formation of the First Hungarian Kingdom, its Christianization, legal framework, cultural development, and international recognition. Even after the devastating Mongol invasion, which could have destroyed Hungary, the resilience and reforms of Béla IV allowed the country to recover, demonstrating the strength established by the Arpads. Hungary's path from a pagan principality to the shield of Europe and a powerful kingdom was long and full of trials. But it was the rule of the Arpad dynasty that laid the foundations of its statehood, identity, and defined Hungary's place in European history.